From the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's conservative blowtorch.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah.
Well, hello, everybody. Welcome to the Todd Starnes Radio Show. Happy Monday to you. Hope you had a great, great weekend. Memorial Day coming up. By the way, later this week, we're heading to the great state of North Carolina. So the big book tour, Twilight's Last Gleaming, and looking forward to meeting a lot of our great listeners in the Tar Heel State, home of Duke's Mayonnaise and Biscuitville and Andy Griffith. So you can't get much, but that's like the Holy Trinity, I think, in the Carolinas. Anyway, we got a lot to cover today. A little bit of breaking news coming from my hometown of Memphis, Tennessee. I received a text message earlier this morning from a very reliable source that a plane load of illegal aliens was being flown to Memphis, Tennessee by way of New York City. So the flight, an American Airlines flight, and they loaded up a bunch of illegals on the plane along with some federal law enforcement officers, and the plane was bound for Memphis International Airport. They flew out of LaGuardia. Now, what's interesting is that the flight plan had the plane literally dropping off the illegals and then returning right back to New York City to LaGuardia. So the plane was supposed to land about 2 hours ago. We don't have any inclination of where the illegals ended up. We don't know where they are. We don't know what's going on there. But we're going to keep all of our KWAM listeners, we'll keep you updated, because as it now stands, there's a very good possibility that a bunch of illegals are now running around Memphis, Tennessee. And may I just say, that's sort of a dangerous proposition, right? Memphis is a dangerous town. So unless you're giving the illegals Kevlar, I know that could not end well for the illegals. But there you have it, ladies and gentlemen. The Biden administration, we knew they were doing this. They've been, and now they've been doing it in the dark of night. And now they're doing it in broad daylight. They're moving these illegals into red states. And the whole point of this is to cause chaos in the census count. That's what this is all about. But anyway, as soon as we find out for our listeners in the Memphis area and West Tennessee, we'll let you know where the illegals end up. So I want to start with a series of reports from Laura Loomer. Now, she is a journalist, an independent journalist, an investigative journalist, and many of you follow her work on the social media feeds. She has nearly a million followers, and she is a former Project Veritas operative. So I've known Laura for many years, and she is a fierce defender of Donald J. Trump. I don't know if there's anybody out there who is more loyal to President Trump than Laura Loomer. Anyway, she has a knack, a gift, if you will, of sniffing out rhinos and never Trumpers. I don't know how she does it, but she does it. So anyway, there are several concerns that Laura raised today, and I want to share those with you. Then we're going to jump into the Trump trial, some stunning information coming out of the Trump trial. But last night, Laura posted a series of very interesting messages. She had been getting some reports that some of the RNC delegations were loading up with anti-Trump people. Now, one of those is from Georgia, and as Laura wrote, a Dominion voting machine lobbyist named John Garst was originally put forward to be a Trump delegate by someone on President Trump's national campaign team for Georgia. She went on to write, there is still an active link on President Trump's campaign website. She's archived the link as a learning lesson to the people on Trump's campaign responsible for this screw up, so this attempted sabotage of the president is never forgotten or deleted. And it's interesting that she's alerting us about the so-called Trump delegates, because I noticed when I went to go vote that some of the people listed as Trump delegates were not Trump supporters. They were actually Nikki Haley supporters. And I'll get to the Nikki Haley component in just a moment. So Laura asks a series of important questions. Who is doing delegate vetting for President Trump? She says she's hearing horror stories about delegate selection from Trump supporters all across the country. And she said she's going to be exposing more of these decisions later on this week. But here's what Laura says. Whoever is in charge of vetting needs to be reprimanded, or they need reinforcements if they don't know how to do their job, because they're seriously dropping the ball for President Trump. Now, the good news here is that John Garst removed himself. Now, Laura says it's because he was exposed. We don't know that. We do not know that. But he will not be a delegate. However, the concern is that there are people who claim to be Trump delegates and have been elected as Trump delegates when, in fact, they may not be Trump supporters after all. So what does all of this mean? Well, it means that there could be some shenanigans in the work. The Republican Party hierarchy is in a mess right now, a great big mess. And Nikki Haley's brother-in-law came out over the weekend and suggested that this fight is not over, and that the suggestion, the insinuation is that there's going to be some sort of an effort at the RNC to put Nikki Haley up. I mean, this is insanity. But it certainly, there's a lot of smoke here, and you know what this, you know, where there's smoke, there's a rhino. And I think that's what we've got going on here. So look, we got to keep an eye on this. We cannot allow Mitt Romney and Liz Cheney and all of the other rhinos to sabotage this. We have great momentum right now. So we don't need to be dealing with any of this party fighting that's going on right now. And there's a lot of party fighting going on. It's time for everybody to get unified, get behind Donald Trump. That's all there is here, folks. So we will keep you updated on this. And if you hear of shenanigans in your state, I want you to call and let us know about it. And we will expose it as well. If you are elected as a Trump delegate to the convention, then you better be voting for Donald Trump. That's your job. That's your obligation. And what a mess, ladies and gentlemen. What an absolute mess that this is becoming. Just unbelievable. 901-260-5926 is our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. We've got to make sure that we've got Donald Trump's back here. That's what this is really all about. All right. I want to talk real quick about President Biden and his address over the weekend at Morehouse College in Atlanta. Now, this is really fascinating, because during the commencement address, and Morehouse is the historically black college, and when President Biden was introduced, you had the old school blacks. So mom and dad, grandma and grandpa, they stood up and they applauded the president. But a majority of the student body actually turned their backs and did not stand to welcome the president of the United States. This is a jaw-dropping development here. And a lot of Morehouse students were just not happy that Joe Biden was in town. Cut number six.
I feel like it's just a way to kind of get the black vote and the young vote and to help his election, because I believe he knows that less and less people are in support of him, especially with his handling of Israel and Palestine and his banning of TikTok and the aid that he is sending to countries, and just the kind of economic state of the United States right now.
Some students have strongly criticized Biden's invitation, given his administration's support for Israel. I'm not a fan of his coming here for multiple reasons. It looks very good on paper that President Biden is coming to speak at Morehouse College. It's considered very prestigious, whatever. But I think a lot of the seniors are suffering because of it. But I think, of course, ideologically, I think his being here, especially the possible conferment of an honorary degree, is very inconsistent with the values of this institution.
Oh, by the way, is it true Biden announced that he was the first black graduate of Morehouse College? Is that? Yeah, but he may have. I don't know. So this is fascinating. So Biden's got a big problem, and it's not that all of these Morehouse College kids have suddenly become Republican, because they haven't. They are disgusted with Joe Biden's policies. But I suspect there's also a bit of knowledge now and an acknowledgement that Joe Biden is really just pandering to blacks, right? He's been doing it for a long time. But now it's coming full circle. And I want you to listen. This is President Biden. I want you to think about this. This is a commencement address. And your charge during a commencement address is to send these young people out into the world so that they can make America great, that they can become productive members of society. And Joe Biden used that moment to tell the black young men, hey, you better watch your back, because America's coming for you. Cut number 7.
Today, you missed your high school graduation. You started college just as George Floyd was murdered. And there was a reckoning on race. It's natural to wonder if democracy you hear about actually works for you. What is democracy? If black men are being killed in the street, what is democracy? The trail of broken promises still leave black communities behind. What is democracy? You have to be 10 times better than anyone else to get a fair shot. And most of all, what does it mean, as we've heard before, to be a black man who loves his country, even if it doesn't love him back in equal measure?
Now, here's what I found fascinating is there was a massive crowd there. Very sporadic applause. Hardly, nobody knew what to do. Like, what are we supposed to, what? What is he talking about? And I'm just asking you, black listeners of the Todd Stearns Radio Show, is that the America that you currently live in, that you exist in, that you raise your family in, that you go to school in, that you have a business in? Because I'm telling you, this guy is still living in like the 1960s pre-Civil Rights Act. That's where this guy is living. That's where his head is right now. Joe Biden telling black men that the United States of America hates them. That was the message that he brought on commencement day at Morehouse College. 901-260-5926 is our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stearns Show. Thanks to the good people at American Hartford Gold, I'm able to bring you this urgent message. Inflation is on the rise again. The dollar is in danger of collapse, and an overheated stock market could crash at any time. The upcoming election is only adding to the chaos. That's why you should contact the good folks at American Hartford Gold to help you safeguard your financial future with physical gold and silver. You can diversify your savings with precious metals delivered right to your door or in a tax-advantaged gold IRA. Protect your retirement from a collapsing dollar and crashing stock prices. Call 855-913-1133 or text Todd to 65532 today for a free gold and silver informational kit. And if you call now, they'll send you up to $15,000 of free silver on qualifying purchases. Gold has hit record highs and keeps climbing. So call 855-913-1133 or text Todd now to 65532 for your free informational kit today. All right, so all of you women out there, I have a question for you. I'm I know many of you like to get dolled up. You put on the makeup and you got the, you do the spray on tan and you've got the hairdos and the wigs and the whatnot. But I have a question about the eyelashes. So are eyelashes racist? That's the reason I ask this. Congress gal Jasmine Crockett really went bonkers over the weekend on Congresswoman MTG. And she brought up this thing about eyelashes being racist. Let's listen here. Cut three.
I have since called her racist, Congresswoman Green. I want to understand your perspective of this. Do you think her going after your eyelashes, that in itself is racist?
I think her specifically doing it to me, yes, that was the intent. As has been stated, you know, women wear makeup, we wear lashes, we wear all types of things to beautify ourselves. But MAGA has historically been on social media doing the things where they're saying, oh, she's black with lashes and nails and hair, and so she's ghetto. And so to me, this was her buying into that rhetoric and trying to amplify this for the MAGA crowd. And so, yeah, I absolutely think that she only did it to be racist towards me.
Because it was towards you, or because it was eyelashes? So in that sense, it's kind of like, in your view, buying into a racist trope.
It is buying into a racist trope, but the reality is that women of all colors wear lashes.
Right. No, I know. Yeah. That's why I was asking.
Yeah. Uh-huh. All right. So a couple of questions. First of all, do you find those sexy, those big long? I mean, these are like the super long eyelashes that sort of look like, I don't know, spider legs, right? It's just really weird. And honestly, it makes the eyelids kind of droopy. These things look really heavy. I mean, it looks very painful. And I'm not sure if the whole droopy eyelid with the spider legs attached is a good look for Jasmine. Now, that being said, she says that, now the argument is that, according to Jasmine Crockett, is that these, some people think the eyelashes are ghetto, right? That's her language, not mine. Is that true? What makes the eyelashes ghetto? Could someone explain that one to me? I'm very curious to know. Anyway, I want to go back to something that Jasmine Madea said last week about MTG, and she called MTG what is blonde butch. So I did a little bit of investigating on the interwebs over the weekend, ladies and gentlemen, and I learned something. I learned that butch also means Lebanese. And the implication here is that Congress gal Madea Crockett was suggesting that MTG was a lesbian, which, of course, is not true. But here's my take on this. Why aren't the LGBT? Why aren't the alphabet activists? Where are the people waving the rainbow flag? Why aren't they out there picketing in front of Jasmine Madea Crockett's congressional office? Because that to me sounds like a slur. I mean, she wants to talk about those long eyelashes being ghetto. Well, you know what? It is homophobic to call MTG a lesbian. I'm just saying. I mean, if you're going to play that game, you got to play the game. So anyway, there you go. By the way, I also noticed that Jasmine Crockett has long flowing locks of hair. That doesn't look ghetto to me. That looks like cultural appropriation to me. Jasmine Madea. All right, got to take a break. 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show. You might have heard Mike Lindell of MyPillow no longer have the support of their box stores or shopping channels the way they used to. They've been part of the cancel culture, so they want to pass the savings directly to you by having a $25 extravaganza. When Mike started MyPillow, it was just a one-product company. With the help of his dedicated employees, they now have hundreds of products, some you may not even know about. To get the word out, I want to invite my listeners to check out their $25 extravaganza. Two-pack multi-use MyPillows, just $25. MyPillow sandals, $25. Their six-pack towel sets, $25. Brand-new four-pack dish towels, you guessed it, just $25. And for the first time ever, the premium MyPillows with all-new Giza fabric, just $25. Orders over $75 will receive free shipping, too. This amazing offer won't last long, so go to MyPillow.com and use the promo code STARNS or call 1-800-839-8506 today. That's promo code STARNS.
Now, another apology in a never-ending series of apologies from Joe Biden.
The other day, I said something that was a poor choice of words. I said, if you have a problem figuring out whether you're going to vote for me or vote for Trump, then you ain't black. Yeah, I know. I should have said you ain't African-American. But it's just like you over there. If you don't vote for me, you ain't a woman.
I'm a lesbian.
Then you ain't gay either, man. Come on. Look, minorities all have to vote together for the same way for democracy to work, or you will lose your identity. You don't want to be like that Latino over there protesting me with that Trump sign. You're getting whiter every day, man. Whiter by the minute. But Raj here, stand up, Raj. Come on, stand up, Raj. Raj is never going to lose his slight Indian accent. I love you, brother. Now, how about a Slurpee on the house, Raj?
I am a doctor, not a store clerk.
But you know a guy. Come on. Yeah. No, come back. Come back, man. I'm just fooling. Tell Raj when he comes back.
Expect continual gaffes and slippage of the mind as we get closer to November.
Rally's not over.
Joe Biden, still a better choice than Bernie.
All right. Thank you, Paul Shanklin, for that. Going back into the memory banks. Welcome back to the Todd Stearns radio program. Happy to have you with us today. We had a shocking development on this trial, Donald Trump's criminal trial in New York City. And something happened today. This is just unbelievable. So it went something like this. So the prosecution was up there and they're like, oh, yeah. So you stole $60,000 from your client, President Trump, and yada, yada, yada. Wait. What? What? So Michael Cohen on the stand today, the prosecution star witness in Trump's criminal trial, actually committed a more serious crime by stealing from President Trump. So if you're looking at how serious these crimes are, so they're alleging that Trump falsified business records, which is at the very worst a misdemeanor, but they're turning it into a felony charge. Yet stealing, an attorney stealing from your client is even worse. So anyway, earlier this morning, Cohen actually admitted stealing $60,000 from the Trump Organization. Here's how CNN covered it.
Let me read for you the exchange between Todd Blanche and Michael Cohen. So you only gave him $20,000 and you took $30,000. Blanche, you stole from the Trump Organization, right? Cohen says, yes, sir. Blanche goes on later on. He says, you did steal from the Trump Organization based upon the expected reimbursement, correct? And he says, yes, sir. So again, that is breaking it out because essentially they walked through what it is that Michael Cohen actually paid Renfidge. And this goes back to, Jose, what you were just talking about, in this brown paper bag, all cash. He came to the Trump Organization, an individual who worked for Redfinch, to collect this payment, $20,000, in which Michael Cohen paid out to this individual. The other $30,000 Michael Cohen kept to himself. Subsequently, why? Todd Blanche is now saying, okay, so you stole from the Trump Organization, correct? And Michael Cohen says, yes, correct. I believe what during this cross we're trying to get at essentially here is even during this time in which Michael Cohen contends that he was very loyal to the Trump Organization, protecting the former president, protecting his boss at the time, a man he has worked with for so long, right, since 2007, who is seen more as a father figure even, that he would then subsequently steal from him because he felt as if he was not getting the appropriate bonus that he was due, that he was expect a guy. Certainly a big exchange there, yeah. I have to say. A momentous kind of exchange between Michael Cohen, Todd Blanchard. Michael Cohen says, yes, I, in fact, stole from the Trump Organization.
Wow. Folks, this is insane. And at some point, the judge has to step up and declare a mistrial. I mean, this is absolutely bonkers crazy. So Trump's attorney, his name is Todd Blanch, and he flat out admitted that he stole from his client, and he was asked, did you ever pay back the money? Did you ever pay back the money that you stole from Donald Trump? And Cohen said, no, he did not. So there you go. I'm telling you, folks, this is a great big nothing burger. That's all this trial is. So Blanch is now done with the cross-examination of Cohen. Cohen also admitted that he's made more than $4 million from his books and podcast over the last 4 years. Not bad money for a convicted felon, by the way. So there you go. This is all, it's all about the money. It is absolutely all about the money. And by the way, is Cohen going to be arrested and charged with this new crime that he admitted to on the stand today? 901-260-5926 is our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. Oh, by the way, Medea Crockett has a message for all of you Trump supporters. She says that she's always going to be smarter than you people. Cut 16.
They encourage me to be who I am because I really am doing and experiencing things that so many other Black women are experiencing. But unfortunately, their stories aren't highlighted. And I also took this as an opportunity to, again, flex on MAGA and let them know that I will always be smarter than you. You can call me a DEI hire all you want to and lodge all the other insults that they continuously lodge against me. But she is no match for me when it comes to intellect.
All right. There, there you go. So here it is in a nutshell, and it's the same way with Maxine Waters and several of the other gals. Squad member we always forget. Ayanna Pressley. Every time you criticize them, you're a racist. So that's the thing. So if you have something critical to say about Jasmine Medea Crockett or Maxine Waters or any of these folk, that makes you a racist. It really is that simple with these people. All right. 901-260-5926 is our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. Now, earlier Joe Biden was talking about how it's a dangerous world out there for Black men because the white man is coming after them. However, when you actually look at the official crime stats, the story is completely different. As a matter of fact, when you look at the murders of Black and white people in the United States, and I want to read these numbers to you. This is just really fascinating. Going back, and we'll go back to the FBI crime report. This is 2018 to give you an example. And we have some more recent data, but I want to share this with you. So these are murders of Black and white people in the United States, 2018. Here we go. White people killed by Black people, 11.3%. Of all those murders, 11.3% whites killed by Blacks. Whites killed by whites, 10.8%. Blacks killed by Blacks, all right? This is the number that I want you to pay attention to. Blacks killed by Blacks, 57%. 57%. Now, what Joe Biden told you was, hey, the problem is it's the Blacks being killed by whites. So you got people running around in white bedsheets, pointy hats, and they're killing Black people randomly in the streets. That's what Joe Biden was saying to the graduates at Morehouse College. You ready for this number, folks? 0.95%, 0.95. So is just a sliver of the number of murders, which, by the way, all murders are horrible. I think we can all agree with that, right? But again, the argument being made by Biden and the Democrats, the Black Lives Matter activists, and the race-agitating preachers out there is that, by and large, it's white people and, and cops going out there killing black men. And that is not the case at all. As a matter of fact, that is the least, that is the least problem that we've got in this country. So again, that, those numbers, by the way, coming from the FBI crime report in 2018. So that's what Black Lives Matter is all about. Advancing lies. And the government and the mainstream media, they're not talking about that. Now, I'm going to give you some more numbers here. This is just data. And again, this is from the FBI. White on black crime, 59,778. Black on white crime, 547,948. You would not know that if you watch your local news. You wouldn't know that if you watch cable news. I'm not even sure they talk about those numbers on conservative cable television. But those are the numbers. Now, when you break it down, 1 in 60 blacks commit a violent act on a white every year. 1 in 2,869 whites commits a violent act on a black annually. According to this data, blacks are 48 times more violent towards whites. Now, again, this information coming from the Bureau of Justice Statistics and the National Crime Victim Survey. These are the actual numbers. And by the way, these are the numbers they do not want you talking about. They sure don't, folks. But these are the numbers we should. Because, again, looking back at 2023, this is from the Twitter feed of End Wokeness. Biden told black graduates they are literally being hunted in the streets. It's not just divisive. It's total BS. In 2023, 86 blacks were killed by whites. 488 whites were killed by blacks. So again, if you want to have that conversation, you can have that conversation, but at least be honest with the data and make sure that you're coming at this armed with the facts. All right, we got to take a break here. 901-260-5926. Do you believe that modern day America is a dangerous place for black young men? Joe Biden says it is. 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show.
Hi, everyone. If you've been injured in an accident that was not your fault, listen up. We have legal professionals standing by to answer your questions for free. Call now and find out if you have a case and how much it's potentially worth. Call 800-702-5400. I'm here with spokesman John Wolf. So, John, tell everyone listening who should call right now.
Well, Maria, first off, thank you for having me here. It's always nice to answer the listeners' questions. Now, as far as who should call in, anyone who's been injured in an accident and think you deserve compensation, give us a call right now. 800-702-5400. You'll find out if you have a case and how much it's potentially worth.
Thanks, John. You heard it, folks. Take advantage of this opportunity and call now. 800-702-5400.
Advertisement sponsored by Legal Help Center may not be available in all states.
All right, Memorial Day is coming up, and I don't know if you've already got your supplies yet, but if you haven't, may I recommend reaching out to my friends at BackyardButchers.com. That's BackyardButchers.com. Use my code Todd, and they're going to give you some tremendous discounts. This is amazing beef. And, you know, one of the challenges when you go down to the supermarket, and let's get real, it says it may have that product of the USA sticker. That just means it was packaged here. It doesn't mean that beef was actually raised here by American farmers chowing down on American grass. No. So the great news about Backyard Butchers, they are Christian and they are conservative owned. They are based in Texas and all of their meat is raised right here in America from American ranches. And they have some incredible cuts of meat, whether you want juicy burgers, if you want some of those delicious ribeyes, T-bone, you name it, porterhouse, they've got it all, grass-fed and grain-finished. And folks, the best part about it, you're going to save money, and it's going to be delivered right to your doorstep. All you have to do, go to BackyardButchers.com, check it out. You're going to save an extra 20% off your entire order by using the code Todd. And when you subscribe, and trust me, once you get your first order, you're going to want to subscribe and you'll be getting regular supplies of beef. We're going to add an additional 10% off and you will get free shipping. Again, BackyardButchers.com/Todd. Use my name, Todd, and they're going to hook you up with those great, great discounts. All right, this story in from, all right, let's see here. Saline, is it Saline or Saline, Michigan? I'm sure someone will correct us. Teachers in Saline, Michigan will no longer be allowed to use gendered language when addressing the children. Kara Davis is the executive director of teaching and learning at the Saline School District, and she fired off an email to the staff. And she warned them it's now against the rules to use terms like boys and girls. So you're no longer allowed to call the boys and girls. Instead, you have to use gender-neutral language. This is nuts. So according to the libs of TikTok, they got a hold of this this memorandum, and Miss Davis was very concerned about inclusion at one of the local schools. And she said that, I want to ensure that we are not replicating harmful practices on students today to model what happened historically. With this in mind, an adjustment is needed and needs to be communicated to the faculty. They should not use boy or girl to refer to students. They can use students, children, visitors, rather than specifying boys and girls. If the students need to be divided into groups, examples of doing so without causing harm to transgender and non-binary students is this. So instead of saying, okay, all the boys on this side and all the girls on this side, the teachers are supposed to line the kids up according to their birthdays or to give the children a number and then have the even numbers on one side and the odd numbers on the other. The teachers are warned that using gendered language could be harmful to the kids and especially to transgender or non-binary students, and they could get in trouble. Now, these, ladies and gentlemen, are the people in charge of your child's education. And if they're doing this at in this little school in Michigan, you better believe they're doing this at schools all over America. And I don't know about you, but I'm just tired of it. Are you tired of it? I mean, come on. Let's get real for a minute here. I think we can all agree that God made male and female. That's it. 99. Look, I know you're going to get the, I'm going to get the call. We always get the call. Well, what about the person born without any sex organs? What about that person, Todd? All right. 99.99999999% of Americans are born male or female. Now, there was a time just a few years ago when someone who came up and said, I'm a man, but I think I'm a woman. That person was given medical treatment. There was a psychiatric diagnosis to that condition. But now we're being told that we have to accept this. We have to embrace this. And it doesn't matter what we think. It doesn't matter if there's a 6 foot tall, 300 pound hairy man in a dress. We have to accept that man as a woman. And I say, no, we don't. And I say it's time for all of us to start standing up and saying, this is nonsense, this is a load of hooey, and we're not going to do this anymore. And the only thing that makes this worse is that it's our tax dollars. Our tax dollars are funding this nonsense. All right, teachers, if I were you, I would keep calling boys boys and girls girls. 901-260-5926. It's our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show. We'll be right back, America.
We're experiencing instability at every level. Our government lacks leadership, and Bidenomics has been a disaster. The economy is in a fragile state. Inflation has been a consistent issue. High interest rates have put significant pressure on the real estate market. There have been major bank failures, and many analysts say a stock market correction is likely overdue. We have global conflicts in Europe and the Middle East that have the potential to spread, but gold has soared to record highs even amidst the tensions. There are so many reasons that Americans should consider investments in gold and silver, and Legacy Precious Metals is the gold standard. I love Legacy Precious Metals because of their zero-hassle, education-first approach. They can help you roll your traditional IRA into a gold IRA or ship metals directly to your house. Go to legacypminvestments.com to download their free gold investing guide. I've read it, and there's so much valuable information there. Friends, now is not the time to roll the dice with your hard-earned money. Find out about the growth potential that gold offers you. Contact Legacy Precious Metals today and tell them I sent you.
From the Liberty University Studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's favorite gun-toting, Bible-clinging, deplorable American.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah.
Well, hello, everybody. Welcome to the Todd Starnes radio program. So happy to have you with us today. A lot going on. President Trump is back in Lower Manhattan, where he realized that Michael Cohen stole tens of thousands of dollars from him as a client. So we'll find out if Cohen is going to face additional charges. By the way, that is, stealing from a client is a much more egregious offense than the misdemeanor that President Trump is now facing. A misdemeanor that is, in fact, now been elevated to a felony. So we're going to be taking your calls on that. Folks, I'm telling you, it looks so good for Donald Trump right now. And the president announcing that he's going to be doing a big rally in the South Bronx. And that's going to be insane. As a matter of fact, we ought to send our next guest up there to cover that. Ben Dieter, who's the morning show host at KWAM. In Memphis, Tennessee. Dieter, I think we should send you to the South Bronx.
Do I have to?
No, you're going to love it. It's a lot safer than Memphis, I'll tell you that much.
Will I get to fly on the Trump plane? That's my only ask and my demand.
I'll see what I can do.
I know you're close to the president.
I know. I'll see what I can do. We'll see. We may be able to pull a few strings.
Some Trump snacks on the big plane. You know, Todd, some of your biggest stories come from riding around on those campaign planes. And Todd, downstairs in our station here in Memphis, he has photos of him and Barack Obama walking out of one of the big campaign planes. Pretty scandalous, Todd.
I have a story about that. So the rule of thumb is that everybody had to be off the plane, and then Obama came off the plane. Mm-hmm. And I had fallen asleep in my chair, and I was the last person on the plane. So there's a picture of me and then Obama directly behind me. And the funny part of that is everybody was giving me a hard time, the press corps, because they were trying to get me to trip down the stairs. And that's why that's why everybody's there, right? The reporters, the press, the mm-hmm. press pool, they're only there in case somebody falls down those stairs.
Imagine being a reporter, a White House reporter for this administration. The content would keep on giving.
You know, I'm curious. Biden, and I heard you this morning on your morning show talking about the Morehouse College speech, that school, historically black college, and the students turned their backs on the president. I don't think the speech was very well received. And I'm wondering, based on the polling data, when you see the numbers of blacks who are now supporting Trump, are you starting to hear that? Are you starting to see that kind of support in the Memphis area?
Yeah, I mean, this is a majority-minority city, Todd, and they are no fans of this president. And yes, he's struggling with the demographic when it comes to the economy, not doing great when it comes to how he's handling foreign conflicts. But I think for a lot of African Americans, specifically in the South, they're not on board with President Biden's pandering to the gender nonsense crap. It's weird because you're seeing black men specifically walk away from the Democrats, because since when were these black men all in favor of these dudes masquerading as women and replacing women? They're not on board with that. So I think the president, while trying to pander to the subset of the LGBTQ mafia, he's losing his historical base of voters, which is the black community.
I saw a meme. Are you familiar with the memes?
I make memes.
You make memes?
I'm a memester.
You see, I don't know anything about memes, but I love to laugh.
You've been a meme before.
I have been a meme.
Yeah.
So anyway, I saw this meme, and it had like the LGB, and the LGB, there was a little beautiful golden retriever, a beautiful little dog.
Oh.
And then the TQIA plus was like this raging, foaming at the mouth like pit bull.
Chihuahua.
Yeah. I mean, it was just,
you know,
really.
They just bark around. They're super annoying.
Very mean and nasty.
Yeah.
So
can you imagine, Todd? I mean, it wasn't that long ago that you graduated. Come on. Imagine your commencement ceremony and the address telling you that this country hates you. I would have been appalled if the guy that gave the announcement address at Cedarville University would have looked at all of those graduates, regardless of skin color, and told us all how much this country despised us. How inspiring is that?
It really does make you wonder what he really I think in his heart of hearts, this man is a racist.
He is, Todd. He literally is. He is the guy that said he would not be in favor of desegregating schools because he didn't want his little Biden kids growing up in a racial jungle.
I think we actually have a couple of clips. We're just going to play one right now. This is a compilation of some of Biden's comments about minorities.
Trump, and you ain't black. Poor kids are just as bright and just as talented as white kids.
I mean, you got the first sort of mainstream African American who is articulate and bright and clean and nice-looking guy.
Biden recalling his early Senate career, bringing up two segregationist senators, Herman Talmadge and James Eastland, who called African-Americans an inferior race. I was in a caucus with James O. Eastland, Biden said. He never called me boy. He always called me son. At least there was some civility. We got things done.
The senators that he is speaking of with such adoration are individuals who made and built their reputation on segregation. The Ku Klux Klan celebrated the election of one of them.
Using the word boy in the way he did can cause hurt and pain, and we need a presidential nominee and leader of our party to be sensitive to that.
My Democratic colleagues don't like me saying this. I think the two-party system is good for the South and good for the Negro, good for the black. Other than the fact that they still call me boy, I think they've changed their mind.
As also noted, Robert C. Byrne was a parliamentary library, a keeper of the institution of the Senate, and he was the institution itself. For a lot of us, he was a friend, and he was a mentor, and he was a guide.
1987, he bragged about getting an award from George Wallace.
Biden bragged about an award from the notorious segregationist Governor George Wallace and told the Philadelphia Inquirer, "I think the Democratic Party could stand a liberal George Wallace, someone who's not afraid to stand up and offend people."
You cannot go to a 7-Eleven or a Dunkin' Donuts unless you have a slight Indian accent.
Unlike the African-American community, with notable exceptions, the Latino community is an incredibly diverse community with incredibly different attitudes about different things.
They're going to put y'all back in chains.
Biden was remarking to an audience in South Virginia that included hundreds of black voters.
If Haiti just quietly sunk into the Caribbean or rose up 300 feet, it wouldn't matter a whole lot.
The reason I was able to stay sequestered in my home is because some black woman was able to stack the grocery shelf.
One thing Biden is being slammed for is the crime bill he helped write 25 years ago that many critics say resulted in mass incarceration, especially of young African-American men.
Unless we do something about that cadre of young people, tens of thousands of them, born out of wedlock, without parents, without supervision, without any structure, without any conscience developing.
It did contribute to mass incarceration in our country.
There's about 100,000 of them, if you want to be rhetorically extreme about it, who are the predators.
Call them the black people predators, Ben Dieter. I'm telling you, we have hours of this kind of stuff, these kind of comments.
It's unbelievable. And look at where the president has chosen to live. That's what I find so interesting about these Barack Obama types, right? They love to talk about the South Side of Chicago. Where was the first place President Obama decided to build his house after he left? They all go to Martha's Vineyard. You know, they destroy these inner cities and then they don't live in them.
It's a fair point.
And also, let's talk about the fact that, you know, it's one thing to be a coherent racist. It's another thing to be an incoherent racist. And that's what he is now.
So I'm just curious about something. You heard Kamala Harris in there. That was pre-Vice President Kamala Harris, where she was coherent. She could put together sentences that made sense. So I'm wondering what's going on. How bad is it inside that White House that maybe, just maybe, she's got to take a little or smoke a little something on the side to get through the day?
Well, look at what. Well, and that's maybe why they're declassifying everything. I mean, they're like declassifying Coke now. I mean, that literally came down from their administration. What, last week, they're declassifying marijuana to, again, help with the black vote. That is what they're saying. So they're trying everything at this point.
So, again, that in itself is incredibly racist.
So of it.
The idea that only black people are smoking
pot.
Mary Jane, the doobie.
Yeah. What are you trying to suggest, Mr. President?
The devil's lettuce. That's what they call it.
It's still illegal, folks, depending on your state.
But again, it goes back to, who is this guy? And, you know, Joe Biden talks about how, you know, he used to brag about it. He used to go have lunch with the segregationist. I'm like, wait, what? That would be like admitting that you go out and you're heading down to the Meat and Three for a lunch with the plantation owners.
I mean, you just have to listen to Democrats to know that they are actual racist. I mean, imagine for one second if Todd came on air and said that black kids in America don't know what a computer is. Can you imagine Mediaite this morning or any of these media organizations? They would come after you. But you've got the governor of New York. She comes out and says, these black kids, well, they don't know what a computer is. Or Eric Adams, he's like, well, we need lifeguards, so we're going to get those illegals because they know how to swim across the Rio Grande. I mean, it's like insane, Todd.
It's terrible. It's so racist. It's laughable. And I go back to, you know, even in, for example, Memphis, Tennessee, this was a city where the Republican Party was actually founded by black people back in the early days.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just telling you. All right, 901-260-5926. I'm just curious. You heard Joe Biden. That was just 2 minutes. 2 minutes worth of Joe Biden sound bites where he calls black people predators. He called Barack Obama
a well-spoken, articulate black man.
He smelled good. He smelled clean. What does that even mean? He smells clean.
And don't forget about those 7-Elevens. My God.
Would you like a Slurpee? Yes, I would love a Slurpee. By the way, I want to see if we can get some intel on what happened earlier this morning. We got word that a plane load of illegals was flying from New York City to Memphis International Airport.
Well, all I can say is I hope as these illegals are deplaning that they are given bulletproof vests, you know, because they have no idea. It's probably safer in Mexico or Guatemala.
Send it a little rock. It's too dangerous here. Joe, we get it. You got it. We know, but it's just too dangerous.
You know what they do, Todd, with illegals when they shuttle them in? They take them to the fanciest hotels, which means...
The Peabody.
Oh, God. The docks.
Is that true? Are they housing the illegals at the Peabody?
Yes, and the illegals are going to be the duck masters. That's what
No. Do the illegals know you cannot eat the ducks? That's a concern. They don't know our ways. It's
wow,
terrible.
Wow, that's an insane image in my head.
It's they're going to go hunting for ducks. They're going to set up a blind right there in the middle of the bar.
In the Hotel of the South. Can't make it up.
You cannot make this up. So anyway, a lot of people are really concerned because as bad as things are, now they're bringing illegals into the community, a courtesy of Joe Biden and the Democrats. Those illegals were being flown on an American Airlines commuter jet from LaGuardia to Memphis International Airport. And it just seems to me that the Republican governor of Tennessee should have dispatched the National Guard, and they should have been there to welcome all of those illegals to the volunteer state by taking them into custody and sending them right back to wherever they came from.
Nah, he wouldn't. Nah, this has already happened in Chattanooga for your Chattanooga listeners. You know, they know this situation. It's already happening there.
It's not good. It's not good. All right, Ben Teeter, always good hearing from you.
Thanks, Todd.
All right, you'll be filling in. You're going to be filling in on the big show this week.
Yeah, and I'm not 4 years old to that listener that thought I was a kid.
Oh, yeah. I told her he's still in middle school.
No, I'm not. I'm 25 and very mature for my age.
Appreciate you, Ben. All right. It's nap time. 901-260-5926 is our number. That's 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show. All right, welcome back to the Todd Stearns Radio Show. Let's get right to the phones, 901-260-5926. Let's say hello to Mac in Georgia. Hi, Mac. What's on your mind today?
Oh, I just wanted to talk about how Mr. Biden fought against the integration of their schools in the 1970s. We Southern bigots had integrated ours a decade before that. Isn't that amazing? But
that is, you know, it's funny, Mac, because Delaware, it's funny. Some people think that Delaware is a southern state. I don't think we claim them. It's a little bit too, that's a little bit too north for my taste.
They were slave state. They were a slave state, but not southern. They sided with the Union. But anyway, in 1960, recalled in the 1950s, the leader of the opposition to civil rights was Lyndon Johnson in the Senate. He fought against civil rights. Mr. Kennedy asked him to be his vice president, and suddenly Mr. Johnson was the civil rights advocate, and everyone remembers him as that. They seem to have forgotten that he was the leader in the opposition, and 4 years later, we reelected him as president. So don't be surprised if we do that again.
Well, and a large chunk of that was meant, you know, LBJ meant for all of those, that great society. He wanted all of those programs directed specifically at minority voters so that they would vote. And there's a very profane quote associated with that. But that he said that blacks would vote Democrat for generations to come. And it turned out to be true. I mean, Johnson was absolutely right. But in doing so, Johnson destroyed the traditional black family in America.
Right. I was disagreeing, not arguing, with a young lady who's studying to be a psychologist in college. I said that that welfare destroyed the black family.
Sure did.
Oh, she argued with me. Oh, no, it didn't, no. But before welfare came along, the percentage of white babies born to an unmarried mother was twice that of the black. Then when Mrs. Roosevelt invented welfare, they had been so oppressed in every way that they got on the wagon. Who can blame them? But it was the ruin of the black family. Mr. Johnson's Great Society changed it from, I recall, the welfare in the 1950s was subsistence level, and then it became lucrative. It would be impossible for these girls to make the kind of money they get from the government by staying unmarried and producing babies for the government.
And Mac, we're going to have to leave it there. It's a great point you raise. And again, looking at welfare, that was only supposed to be a temporary stopgap. You know, people were not supposed to live for generations in public housing. But that's what the Democrats did. It is one of the most racist, heinous things that has been put upon our country. Got to run, Mac. 901-260-5926. All right, good to have you with us. By the way, Joe Biden, he's off the meds again. Cut 17.
And when I was vice president, things were kind of bad during the pandemic. And what happened was Barack said to me, go to Detroit and help fix it.
So Joe seems to think that he was vice president during COVID and that President Obama sent him to Detroit to fix the pandemic. That's what you just heard Joe Biden say, when in fact he was not vice president during the China virus pandemic, and nobody sent him to Detroit. So it didn't happen. By the way, have you seen the videos? These are like side-by-side videos taken a couple of days after each other. Biden in front of the camera. And in one, he's like squinting his eyes and he's mumbling all over the place. And in the other one, his eyes are big as saucers and he never blinks. It was like, how do you go without blinking for like 60 seconds? He's an old man. It's not like he can even consciously do that. So Trump over the weekend was given a great, great speech. It was hilarious. It was just Trump in rare form. And Trump said, hey, look, we're going to do this debate, but he better bring a cup because we're doing a drug test. Cut four.
Say, remember that idiot from CNN? Oops, I shouldn't say that I'm doing a debate for them. They'll be slightly tougher. No, I have fake tappers. They said, I just want to debate this guy, but, you know, and I'm gonna demand a drug test, too, by the way. I am. No, I really am. I don't want him coming in like the State of the Union. He was high as a kite. I said, is that Joe up there? A beautiful room? And by the end of the evening, he's like, well, he was exhausted, right? Now, we're going to demand a drug test. But Fake Tapper and these people, they're going to be fine. They're going to be fair. I think they're going to be fair. And if they're not, you know, you have to deal with it, right? You have to deal.
Well, he's right. And what I find fascinating about this is he's not wrong about the drugs. Clearly, Biden is on something. And I'm glad that Trump is doing a debate, but he needs to understand going in that it's him against the world when he walks onto that debate stage. It's him against the world. That's how bad it's going to be. And CNN, Fake Tapper, as Trump called him, they're all going to be gunning for him. And it's not going to be fair. It's not going to be balanced. But as long as Trump knows that going in, that it's not going to be a fair fight, I think he's going to be okay. But I'm curious, what are some things? And I do think there have to be some caveats here. There have to be some carve-outs. And I agree with Trump. There needs to be a drug test. What else? What else does Team Trump need to demand as they're going into this debate? What else does Team Trump need to make sure they take care of? For example, some people are saying no earpieces. It doesn't matter if it's a hearing aid. Nude ears for the debate. So what do you think? What do you think the rules ought to be here for Trump? 901-260-5926, our number. That's 901-260-5926. Now, last week on my Newsmax TV show, our good friend Jeffrey Lord, the great political pundit, dropped by for a visit. Here's a little bit of that conversation.
Now joining us is our good friend, the great Jeffrey Lord, contributing editor at the American Spectator. Jeffrey, good to have you with us. What do you make of this insane campaign season?
Wow, it's great. And I'm particularly pleased to see this with Governor DeSantis. I know, as do you, enough history to know that political parties win elections at the presidential level when, if you have a hotly contested primary and it ends, everybody comes together and it's sort of kumbaya, as the saying goes. And there's two practical reasons for it. Number one is the money. In this case, Governor DeSantis has signed on. He's going to run around America and work the phones and raise money for President Trump. That's a good thing. The number two thing, and actually maybe the number one thing, is the symbolism of it all. Parties that appear united with their number two, you know, their losing candidate, joining hands for the victory clasp and showing up at events and the convention itself, which will be in July, I guess, that's very important because it tells, in this case, the DeSantis supporters that Governor DeSantis is now on the Trump train, and they need to get on too, and they need to move on with this. And that is the mark of a united party that can win a presidential election.
You think we're going to see Nikki Haley on that stage holding hands with Donald Trump?
Well, you know, I am concerned about that, and I don't. She does. She seems to show no inclination to do it. And, you know, frankly, one of the other things that goes on here, I mean, assuming, frankly, whether President Trump wins or loses, I think that's going to be his last run for the presidency. So the race, as happens in this country, the race for president 4 years later begins the day after the election. And if Nikki Haley wants to, you know, run in 2028, you know, you've got to get out there and do the teamwork and all of that kind of thing, which is what Governor DeSantis is doing. If she doesn't do it, I think that only hurts Nikki Haley. I don't really think it'll hurt Donald Trump at all.
All right. I want to circle back to this crazy debate story. What's going on here? I have to imagine the Democrats are not big fans of wanting Joe Biden to take that debate stage.
Yeah, I'm sure that's true. And I think they're stuck with this and they don't know how to get out of it. But one of the subtle things, I've written something about this that's going to run tomorrow, I think, at Newsbusters. I call it the Trump trap. And is President Trump ever so cleverly agreeing to do this on CNN, where the moderators will be two of my former colleagues there, but neither of whom are Trump fans, that being Jake Tapper and Dana Bash. And so, in essence, it's going to be one against three here with President Trump and then the two non-Trump supporters there from CNN. And, you know, the optics of it all. I mean, President Trump is nothing but if not a good showman. And I thought, yeah, you know, he may have wanted to set this up so that the American public can see the media doesn't like me. They know it, and here it is at work. That, in turn, sets off a backlash, which is the kind of thing I think this trial in New York has done, which is why 100,000 people show up in Wildwood, New Jersey of all places, a blue state, and they show up to support him. So I think, you know, there may be all kinds of things going on with this first debate.
All right, Jeffrey, we got to leave it there. Great analysis. I want to get you back on very soon. And folks, got to read Jeff's column. It's amazing stuff. Jeffrey, thank you.
Thank you. You bet, my friend.
All right, there you go. The conversation with Jeffrey Lord. By the way, you can watch my Newsmax TV show every afternoon, 5 o'clock Eastern, on the Newsmax YouTube and social media channels. So we'd love for you to do that. Fun conversations. And we try to do deep dives into some of the big stories of the day. By the way, tonight on the show, we're going to take you through some of the more racist comments that were uttered by Joe Biden over the years. All right, let's go to the phones here. 901-260-5926. Diane in Georgia. Hi, Diane. What's on your mind?
Hi, Todd. You were saying a few moments ago about what you think that we think that President Trump should ask foreign concessions in order to debate President Biden. With them not having a live audience, I believe that there's going to be some tape manipulation, and it's not going to necessarily be a live broadcast. I think that there's going to be some kind of time delay to help it benefit President Biden, and not only with the drug testing and things like that and no earbuds and things like that, I think that President Trump should be allowed to have all of his staff members whoever Biden has, Trump can have. And I think that they should be recording the debate in real time while it's happening, just to protect themselves from any kind of manipulation.
I like this idea. So you're saying that, you know, there may be a concern where they delay it and maybe edit out something that Joe Biden says.
Or edit in something President Trump did not.
Well,
that time delay thing, I don't know how radio stations do. I know some of this happens with radio stations when people call in. But like you were talking about, they had edited that where Biden was saying, you know, come on, let's debate, make my day. And you said there were so many edits in like a 15-second thing. I think that that's the kind of stunts that are going to be pulled. And this is not going to be what we would call a live debate.
You know, some people were even wondering if AI has been used in some of these Biden, you know, videotaped things. It's a fair question to ask because clearly something's not right. I mean, you can tell when the guy's been juiced up, and Diane, when he's not juiced up, you can't even understand the man.
Yeah, and if they're going to agree with the debate, they're going to be trying to pull something to give themselves an edge.
Diane, I think that's a good word, and we'll put that down here as we go through the show today. But I suspect others are going to have some thoughts about things President Trump should demand. I wouldn't just go into it willy nilly. I think that we really have to. I think that he's going to have to demand and nail down some of these things. And I do think a drug test is appropriate. All right, Diane, thank you for that call. 901-260-5926 is our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. Well, I have to tell you about our friends over at Newsmax. President Trump, by the way, is on board the Newsmax bandwagon. He says it's really terrific, and he says Americans are tuning into Newsmax because it's just really, really good. Newsmax is on all major cable networks. Newsmax 2, the streaming channel that broadcasts my TV show, is on the big OTT platforms like Roku, Samsung, and Amazon. But, folks, you really got to get NewsmaxPlus.com. It is the streaming service. You're going to get all the top Newsmax shows. You're also going to get Newsmax 2. Great analysis from folks like Mike Huckabee, Dick Morris, and they cover all the major Trump rallies and news events, even the ones Fox News will not touch. So check out Newsmax Plus now and start your free trial. That's right, free. It costs nothing to start. Just go to NewsmaxPlus.com to register. That's NewsmaxPlus.com. Then download the app and start watching. We'll be right back. All right. Welcome back, everybody. Good to have you with us. So Burlington, do you still shop at Burlington? I remember when Meemaw Starnes, Grandmother Starnes, we'd all have to go and make the trip to Burlington and Sears. And Burlington is where we got our winter coats. And so we'd go down there and, you know, it's, geez, you know, you're a kid. You just want to go to the toy store. You want to go hang out. You don't want to be stuck in a coat store. But anyway, Burlington is in the news. Burlington has announced that they happily are discriminating against white men. You cannot make this up. Burlington released what they're calling let me see if I can get this correct here. It is a new social responsibility report. My apologies. The corporate social responsibility report. So they're all about diversity, equity, and inclusion, and they're very excited to announce that they're just not hiring any of you white people anymore. As a matter of fact, the new hires by gender, 74% women, only 25% men. The new hires by race, people of color, 81% of the new hires was a person of color, only 19% of the honky persuasion. That would be Caucasians. Now, what about people getting promoted? People being promoted by race. 77% of women get a promotion, only 23% of men. And when it comes to promotions by race, 71% of people of color, so 71% of blacks are promoted. Only 29% of white people are promoted. You cannot make this up. So in other words, Burlington is discriminating against specifically white men and their hiring practices, and they are promoting black people and women. They also promote diversity in their break rooms, and they inform staff that customers must be allowed to use the bathrooms and dressing rooms that match their gender identity. So my question is, ladies and gentlemen, would you shop at Burlington? They used to call it Burlington Coat Factory. I think they just shortened it. But Burlington has a policy, and someone took a screenshot of this. It's on the break room billboard. It says gender inclusion facilities access policy. At Burlington, we stand for equality and the dignity of each person. We embrace the many facets of diversity, equity, and inclusion that benefit our associates, our company, and our communities. We believe that everyone deserves a respectful and inclusive environment that values their gender identity and expression. Burlington goes on to say that we have been and continue to be an advocate for DEI and are committed to increasing access and opportunities for all associates and customers. Consistent with our commitment, Burlington recognizes gender identity and gender expression in our policy against unlawful discrimination and harassment. It's important that all associates, including trans and gender nonconforming, have access to a workplace that is welcoming, inclusive, affirming, and free from unlawful harassment and any other adverse treatment. What does that even mean? Anyway, they're saying that if a transgender person, so if a man wants to disrobe in front of your little girl, that's going to happen. That your little girl, your little biological girl, has no rights. Only the trans people, only the LGBTQIA plus people, they're the ones that have rights. All of you other people are just screwed. Burlington goes on to say, no associate or customer shall be required to use a segregated restroom or fitting locker room apart from others due to their gender identity, gender presentation, or transgender status. So in other words, you can't even have just a separate facility just for the transgender peoples. And as we said earlier, there's really no such thing as transgenderism. You're either a man or a woman. And in this case, you're a man who wants to disrobe in a female restroom. Burlington is not only going to welcome you in, they're going to hold the curtain open for you. That's Burlington. But I am curious, though, what is this country going to look like? And if these DEI departments at stores all across America, if they have their way, the white man would be unemployed, right? Because they're all about only hiring black people, only hiring Hispanic people, only hiring people of color. So if you're a white person, where do you go to get a job in the next 5 or 10 years? Because clearly this is spreading across America. All right, we got to take a break. I'm curious to hear your thoughts on that. Where does the white guy go to get a job these days? 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show.
From the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's Common Sense Conservative Commentary from Todd Starr.
Satsas, that's right, I love this American ride.
Well, hello, everybody. Welcome to Hour 3 of the big show. Great to have you with us today. You know, I want to pick up where we left off in the last hour. This news coming out of the world of department stores. Burlington is now announcing that they are going to start discriminating against white men And they're also going to be discriminating against biological women. Glad to have you with us for this hour of the conversation. But Burlington, the coat factory, releasing its corporate social responsibility report, and the information is pretty jaw-dropping. They admitted that their new hires are mostly minorities, and it is all intentional. It's part of their diversity, equity, and inclusion policy. 81% of new hires were minorities. Only 19% were white. Now, they also boasted about promoting more women than men and more black women than white men, 77% to 23%, 71% to 29%. Now, you may be wondering, okay, well, why is this a big deal? Well, it's a big deal for several reasons. First of all, you should not be discriminating against anybody based on the color of their skin. Number two, are they really getting the best people for the job, or are they just hiring people to check off a box? And if you've been to a shopping mall, if you've been to a department store lately, you know that it is not the glamorous kind of experience it used to be. And I remember back in I was born in 67, and I remember in the 70s and into the 80s when people would get dressed up to go to the mall. And then, of course, in my generation, I think we were the first mall rats, my generation. And we used to go and hang out at the mall. But it was a fun place. And the department stores, if you go back to the day, and wow, some of you may not even remember these names, but there was a great mall. There was a great department store in Memphis. If any of our Memphis listeners remember this, Goldsmiths. You might remember Goldsmiths back in the day. And it was really one of these elegant department stores. They had, you know, if the ladies would go there and they would dress up and they would go shopping and they would have lunch or get their hair done or have high tea at the at Goldsmiths back in the day. I believe there used to be in the New Orleans area across Louisiana, Bon Marché. And these are very elegant Southern department stores. And the experience of walking in, you were greeted. There was a level of sophistication. There was a level of craft, and people worked there for sometimes decades. People took pride in their jobs. And now you walk into some of these places, and it's like a ghost town. Like, nobody's there. It's like, does anybody even work at Sears? Does somebody show up and they unlock the doors at 10 o'clock and then they go back at closing time at 6 or 7 and lock it back up? I never see anybody in Sears. I remember going to this. So we have in Memphis, we have a problem keeping malls open. It's terrible. But we had this one beautiful mall called the Wolf Chase Galleria. And when it first opened, it was like, wow. I mean, this thing was, it had all the bells and whistles, and now it's just, I remember when I moved back to Memphis, I went over there to get something, and I felt like I was in the middle of one of those video games. Grand Theft Auto? Yeah, that's it. I was in fear of my life, and I was just going to get some shoes. Holy cow. But in all that to say that there's just, there's something that's happened in this country, and I think the shopping malls, and I know shopping experiences change and they fluctuate, but this goes far beyond that. And I do wonder if a lot of it has to do with these diversity, equity, and inclusion hires, that we're not going for the best and the brightest anymore. We're just going to check off a box. But I do have a sincere question. And, you know, look, I think everybody who wants a job should have a job, right? Get out there. You work your butt off. Not all jobs pay the same amount of money. But what you do is you start somewhere and you work your way up. That's the way it used to be in America. And many times people would stay at their employer for generations. Grandpa's sons, grandsons would all work at the same companies. That's just the way things were. That is not the way it is today. So anyway, I'm just, and this is my sincere question here, and it's not a joke. And I'm not trying to, I'm just wondering where do the white guys go to get a job? these days. Right? If the whole point of diversity, equity, and inclusion is to exclude white males, where do those guys go to get a job? And here are some things that concern me about this DEI stuff. It's intentionally targeting, for better or worse, and mostly for worse, it's targeting white guys. And these companies, they don't want white men working in management. They don't want guys working in upper management. And maybe you can get a job in the mailroom if you're lucky. But can you imagine what that does to the psyche of, say, a young 18, 19, 21-year-old white kid coming out of high school and wants to go get a job only to be told? I mean, right now, you've got a lot of kids that are flooding into the marketplace looking for jobs, summer jobs. And I wonder how many of these white kids are going to be turned away simply because of the color of their skin, because Burlington readily admits, hey, we discriminate against white people here. This company is not for you. I mean, you can go shopping here if you want to, but the reality is you won't be able to work here. Yeah, your kind is not welcome here at Burlington, the Coat Factory. So what do you tell your kid? And I'm wondering if your kid has already had that sort of an experience where they've tried to go out, they've applied for a job, they haven't got the job, and maybe they pulled them aside and said, look, yeah, you're a good kid, you're a good candidate here, but we can't hire you because you're a white guy. By the way, there's a part two to this Burlington Coat story. Burlington also doubled down on its policies allowing men to share dressing rooms and bathrooms with little girls. And Burlington is saying, hey, look, you got a problem with this. And they literally write this out. If a customer comes up to you and says, hey, I've got a problem because there's a grown man in the dressing room, they tell the female customers, well, if you feel uncomfortable, you'll just need to wait your turn. Wait, what? Is that right? Is that fair? 901-260-5926 is our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. I would just say this. I mean, if you've got, Burlington and they're letting these perverts and predators prowl around in the dressing rooms, I'd just find another place to buy your winter coats, America. That's just me. All right, we got to take a break here. We'll open up the phone lines again, 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show. All right, welcome back, everybody. Good to have you with us. 901-260-5926 is our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. Oh, this is great. So, in Oakland, California, they're having a big problem with the homeless people. You know, they're stealing everything, and it's really bad. One of the things they've been stealing are the electrical components that are used to run the traffic lights in Oakland. And so it's gotten so bad that instead of arresting the homeless people, instead of cracking down on the homeless people, the city of Oakland has come up with a better solution. They're replacing all of the traffic lights with actual stop signs. You cannot make this up. This actual stop sign, that red says stop, they're putting those on all the major intersections. This is insanity. Cut number 11.
A drive on the busy East 12th Street, you'll come to this high-hanging stop sign above the road. Neighbors say city workers replaced the traffic lights with four-way stop signs in the last week.
It's just telling us that the city is giving up on us.
Courtesy of Google Earth, this was how the intersection looked before. But neighbors say those lights haven't worked in months. They were either blinking red or completely out.
This is a brand new solution to a problem that's taken many forms here.
Mason Young lives near the intersection. He believes the stop signs are better than non-working traffic lights, which he blamed for this crash that sent a truck into the fence of a repair shop.
We gotta stop just putting Band-Aids on things. Although, a Band-Aid's better than bleeding out.
The city did try to fix the traffic light at least a few times, But once they fix it, normally within a week or so, it will go out again.
Tamley owns the corner auto repair shop, been here for over 25 years. He and neighbors blame the problem on repeated copper thefts. Also, they point out homeless people are stealing power from city electrical boxes. As you can see, someone is running a wire from this box to an RV. A city spokesman says they try to put heavy cement blocks on top of the boxes, but people just drag them out. The city says when people illegally connected cables to the boxes, they knocked out the traffic lights.
If you really want to fix the stop sign, I think you really have to clean up this homeless encampment.
That's easier said than done. The encampment stretches about three blocks on East 12th Street. The city tried to clear it out for the past 5 years, but it keeps coming back and gets bigger.
Many businesses already closed down on East 12th, and I don't know how long we're going to be here, because once they move to outside of the sidewalk, we will be gone.
All right. There you go. That's life in Biden's America, where the homeless, the illegals, they take precedent over everybody else. Oh, by the way, the State Department, this is shocking. So over the weekend, the president of Iran, Ibrahim Raisi, the foreign minister, Yabba Dabba Dubba, and several other members of their Iranian delegation died in a helicopter crash in northwest Iran. Very tragic. It was interesting, though. There were a lot of people celebrating the death of this guy. I mean, fireworks, the whole nine yards in Tehran. And the reason why, this guy is known as the Butcher of Tehran. So the State Department has, the White House has released an official statement, and I want to read this to you. Matthew Miller, the spokesperson for the State Department, putting this out on the death of Iranian President Raisi and others in a helicopter crash. The United States expresses its official condolences for the death of Iranian President Ibrahim Raisi, Foreign Minister Amir Abadaba Yabaduba, and other members of their delegation in a helicopter crash in northwest Iran. As Iran selects a new president, we reaffirm our support for the Iranian people and their struggle for human rights and fundamental freedoms. Now, that coming from the State Department. Earlier today, the U.S. ambassador actually rose for a moment of silence as they mourned the so-called Butcher of Tehran. This was a bad human being. Now, we don't wish death on anybody, but the fact that you've got the United States of America mourning the death of this evil man, this horrible butcher, really says something about this administration. I mean, this was one bad guy. They called him the so-called Butcher of Tehran. 63 years old. He was one of the hardliners. He helped oversee the mass execution of thousands of people in the 1980s and then presided over a brutal crackdown over anti-government protest at home. This is the guy who killed thousands of people, and the State Department is mourning this man's death. That's what's going on. Now, I find it interesting because not once did the White House release a single statement mourning the loss of Lakin Riley, the University of Georgia college student who was brutally murdered by an illegal alien. I don't seem to recall the Biden administration releasing a single word of sympathy for Lakin or her family. But they can find it within their heart to mourn the loss of a brutal monster, a maniac, who executed and oversaw the execution of thousands of people in the 1980s. That tells you everything you need to know about these evil people that are running our country right now. And folks, come November, we got to get them out of office. We've got to. These people have no business governing anything at all. 901-260-5926 is our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. Want to play some audio for you. This is from Oregon, the state championships, the high school state championships in track and field. And a young man placed first in the Oregon State Championships. His name is Aiden Gallagher. I want you to listen to what happened. Cut 13. They were booing. There were people booing in the stands. And you know what really strikes me about this story? And I don't know how many times have we covered these kinds of stories? But the truth of the matter is a young lady missed out on being first place in the girls' championships. The father of one of the female all-star athletes who competed in the state championship said, in Oregon, we let boys run in girls in the girls class because we're woke. Do we have that audio? I'll send it over. We'll try to get it in the break. It's just appalling. And the people are sitting there, the grown adults. Why aren't the adults out there saying, you know what? No, we're not going to allow our daughters to be humiliated like this. That's not going to happen anymore. We're not going to do that. Where are the grown-ups here? Why, where are the people in the face of all of this cultural chaos? Where are the grown-ups willing to stand up, to have the courage to stand up and say, enough of this? This is ridiculous. And my heart goes out to these young ladies. They deserve a whole heck of a lot better. They've been let down they've been let down by schools, by coaches, and by moms and dads. It seems to me somebody in that mix should have at least a measure of courage to stand up and say, we're not going to tolerate this. This ends right now. I feel bad for the young girls who are going to be missing out on scholarships. 901-260-5926, our number. That's 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show. Welcome back, everybody. Good to have you with us. This is the Todd Starnes Radio Show. Coming up, we're going to be talking to our good buddy Art Alley from TimothyPlan.com. That's always a fun conversation. In the meantime, let's go to the phone lines. Danny in Selmer, Tennessee, listening to us on KWAM. Hi, Danny. What's on your mind?
Hey, good afternoon. I wouldn't get too worried about the discrimination against white males that you were speaking about earlier, because it's a real simple fix. You just simply have to, a white male has to wear a dress to the job interview and you'll get hired. So,
Danny, I got a problem with that, though. My gams, the leg, I don't have good looking legs.
Well, wear a full length dress.
Oh, that's good. Now, my ankles look pretty respectable. So, okay, that's good to know.
Well, you're in. All right, sir. That's all I have for you. Hope it helps somebody.
Danny, this is terrific advice. You know, also, and I forgot about this, back when San Francisco was offering the millions of dollars in reparations, I was going to self-identify. LeBron Starnes is my working name.
There we go.
there's always a workaround.
There is. All right.
All right, Danny.
Have the best day.
All right. Thank you, Danny. You see, the folks in Selmer, Tennessee, they have a good, healthy dose of common sense. And you got to have a healthy dose of humor, too. Otherwise, it'll drive you nuts. By the way, speaking of driving people nuts, some of this stuff happening in our classrooms, and nobody seems to want to stand up. Well, that is simply not the case. In Cobb County, Georgia, we've got some school board folks there, and I think that's actually, I believe, a suburb of Atlanta where the Atlanta Braves are now. Anyway, they're finally starting to do something. Take a listen.
The district had a legal and moral obligation to keep students safe when their parents entrust them to us during the day. This includes protecting them from exposure to sexually explicit, obscene, pornographic, vulgar, and lewd material. The law has long held that the unique custodial and instructional mission of schools explicitly imposed this obligation. In 1986, the United States Supreme Court supported a school district disciplining a high school student for using lewd and vulgar language during a speech at school, declaring, quote, "Vulgar, lewd speech and lewd conduct is wholly inconsistent with the fundamental values of a public school education," end quote. Despite what politicians and social media are saying, this has consistently been the law in this state for over 50 years. The radical new idea is not that schools have an obligation to protect students, but the radical new idea is that all children should somehow be forced to encounter sexually explicit language in instruction while at school, an assertion that less than 5 years ago would have seemed ridiculous and dangerous, and one that the vast majority of educators and parents continue to find ridiculous and dangerous. I am also aware that those promoting this radical new idea that children should be exposed to lewd, vulgar, and sexually explicit material are contending this removal somehow violates our board policy on book reviews. That is also not true. Yes, we have a policy for parents to challenge materials they believe are inappropriate. However, as professional educators, we have an independent professional obligation to protect students from lewd and vulgar materials, regardless of whether any parent, group, or outside entity files a complaint. It is both legally recognized and completely independent of our processes for handling parental or external complaints. As I previously stated, in this instance, when the district was made aware of inappropriate content contained in two books, we conducted a review of both books. That review demonstrated conclusively that the degree of sexually explicit, obscene, vulgar, and/or lewd material in these books required them to be removed immediately. As superintendent, my professional obligation to protect our students is independent of anyone else's. As superintendent, after I knew what was in these books, I could not attempt to shift responsibility. To do my job and execute I could not attempt to shift responsibility to other district employees or hide behind an allegation that, well, no parent has complained. My hands are tied. As the superintendent of the Cobb County School District, it is not usurping the board's authority to do my job and execute my professional and moral obligation to protect Cobb's students from being exposed to vulgar, lewd, sexually explicit, obscene, and pornographic material. So if you need someone to blame for deciding to remove the books Flamer and Me, Earl, and the Dying Girl, you can blame me. I, as superintendent, will not knowingly allow children in the Cobb County School District to access lewd, vulgar, sexually explicit, obscene, or pornographic material. Let me be very clear. Anyone working in education who knowingly provides students with access to sexually explicit, obscene, or pornographic material should not be in a position of educating other parents' children. I want to be very clear in closing. This situation is not over. This situation is not about politics. This situation is not about faith-based or religious beliefs. This situation is about right and wrong, good and evil. The sexualization of children can never be defended nor allowed in any context, especially in education. There is no middle ground in this situation. There is no room to flip-flop on where you stand. You are either in favor of providing inappropriate material to children Are you against it? And I assure you, I am against it, and I will not be moved.
All right. Well, good for you, sir. That is the superintendent of schools in Cobb County, Georgia, and he is laying down the law. His name is Chris Ragsdale, and I appreciate this man. He is taking a pretty darn bold stand, and he's catching a lot of flack from the activists out there, but he doesn't care because he's doing the right thing. And this, ladies and gentlemen, is what a school district looks like that actually is doing the right thing, which is teaching kids the basics, how to read, how to write, how to add and subtract and multiply, teaching the kids all the things they need to know to be good, productive members of society. So good for you, Superintendent Ragsdale in Cobb County, Georgia. I like this guy. This is good stuff here. All right, 901-260-5926 is our number. That's 901-260-5926. Someone posted this on, now it's officially X, so it's not even Twitter.com anymore. They got rid of the Twitter.com last week. So now it's on X. They've been monitoring the prices at McDonald's and Taco Bell. Dylan, are you either a McDonald's or a Taco Bell person?
Taco Bell gets you in trouble. McDonald's occasionally.
Okay. Well, I want to run some prices by you here. So if you were going to McDonald's back in 2019 during the great, glorious years of the Trump administration, you would pay $1.79 for those medium fries. You know what you're paying for those fries now? $4.19.
For a medium fry?
For a medium French fry.
Wow.
That's a 134% increase. A McChicken sandwich. Ugh. You don't forget that. Nobody gets chicken at McDonald's.
Yeah, I do.
Unless it's the nuggets.
Okay.
The nuggets. A 10-piece nuggets, $4.49. Where are these California prices? Oh, it is. It's Los Angeles, of course. I'm like,
this
holy
makes more
crap.
Sense.
Yeah, I'm like, I don't think I'm paying that for the nuggets. A 10-piece nuggets, $4.49 in 2019, $7.58. Oh. By the way, gas is almost $8 a gallon in San Francisco
right
now. If you want a cheeseburger, which, by the way, can I just say, I don't know what it is, but I like their just regular old cheeseburger. You know, it's the smallest of the burgers you get. It packs a good, tasty bite. $1, right? That's how much it used to cost, $1. Now it's $3.15. 215% increase. That's Joe Biden for you. But let's look at Taco Bell for a moment. The beefy five-layer burrito was $1.69. Now going for $3.69, 118% increase. The spicy potato soft taco, ugh, that sounds terrible. That's $1. Now it's $1.19. Yeah, nobody's buying that. Nachos Bel Grande. Is that named after Ariana? Okay.
Maybe. Well, who knows? Who knows? All maybe.
Right. Nachos Bel Grande, $3.29 back in Trump years. And now in the Biden era, it's $5.89. I'm just telling you, folks, people are really hurting out there. You could feed a family of four for what it would cost to go to Five Guys and just get a regular burger with the, 80 pounds of potatoes and the Diet Coca-Cola.
Yeah. They actually tell you not to get a large fry at Five Guys because it'll feed a family of five.
It's literally, all they do literally is just pour, they just fill the sack with fries.
They get all the potatoes there.
That's a lot of potatoes. I'm like, guys, just ease up a little bit. It's like when I go to get some coffee, and they're like, fill it to the brim. I'm like, don't do that. Just give me some wiggle room. I'm good. Anyway, are you seeing these price increases in your communities, though? I'm going to have to go. I know Chick-fil-A's gotten a little pricey. I'm like, geez, hello, how much? I got to go buy a chicken for that. Do it myself. 901-260-5926, our number. This is the Todd Stern Show. We've been telling you for a couple of weeks now that there has been a mass exodus of Boy Scouts across the country. Many have decided to join Trail Life USA. I have been a big supporter of Trail Life since its creation, 7-8 years ago now. and they're doing some incredible work across the country with young men. I want to go to the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. We're honored to have our good friend Art Alley, founder of the Timothy Plan. TimothyPlan.com, folks, is the website. That's TimothyPlan.com. And Art, I know you've been pretty outspoken about this as well, this progressive lurch that the Boy Scouts have undergone over the past couple of years.
Oh, it's been more than a couple of years, Todd. But my friend John Stemberger is a guy that launched that as an alternative. It broke his heart when the Boy Scouts went totally woke and started incorporating homosexuals into the Boy Scouts. He's a guy that started Trail Life, and you're right. It is a great. It's what the Boy Scouts used to be.
Yeah, it really is, and it's just so sad when you see the demise of this organization. And you're right. I mean, this goes back a while, but it really was a slippery slope. They held to their values and their traditions. The Supreme Court actually sided with the Boy Scouts, and then it all started to become unraveled. And Art, you do wonder what sort of an impact this actually is having on the country, this organization that, you know, out of this group came presidents and generals and senators and judges. I mean, it really played a pivotal role in, you know, establishing traditions in this country.
Because it built character, and they've just decided to. I mean, the country's in a mess in a whole lot more ways than the Boy Scouts, but that's just indicative. But I hope you can hear me okay. I've got you on the speaker because a friend of mine happens to be here in the room, a fellow named Paul Blair. You know Paul, and, you know, he is the architect of the pastor boot camps, and that's where it's got to start. The church has merged with the culture. And unless pastors step up and start proclaiming the truth of Scripture again, we're going to stay in a mess, not just Boy Scouts, but everywhere, from transsexuals to killing babies to all the rest. But, Paul, say hi to Todd. You know Todd.
Hello, Todd. Good to talk to you again, my friend.
Likewise. Thank you, Paul. Appreciate that. And good to have you on the program as well today. Again, we have Art Alley, who is founder of Timothy Plan. TimothyPlan.com is our website. You know, Paul, Art, we talk a lot about the role of the church and, you know, restoring traditional values in this country. Are we going to be able to get back to that point, do you think?
We are trying like crazy, and Timothy is, you know, one of the major underwriters. So when you invest in Timothy, you're helping us fund some of these boot camps. So far, we've trained nearly 2,000 alumni from all over the country who are now equipped to equip their congregations and engage their communities and their culture. And they're making a difference. Is it enough? Is it too little, too late? I don't know, but we're going to keep on going. And so for the audience, just go to libertypastors.com or org.com, libertypastors.com for more information. There is nothing more important than getting these pastors, willing pastors, and most are not willing, equipped to deal with this culture biblically, and they have not been doing it. They're trained to fill pews and fill offering plates and have people say automatic prayer, and, you know, if that prayer doesn't transform your life, that prayer is sort of empty. So they are really making a difference, and that's the most exciting thing, other than biblically responsible investing, which is pretty important, that we're involved in.
And again, Art, give us that email address again. I don't have that in my materials here, so give us that email address one more time.
You need it, Todd. It is the greatest difference maker in America today, libertypastors.com. Paul Blair puts together a team. We have 100 pastors and their wives for 3 days and three nights at resort hotels all over the country. And he pours, and his whole team pours into these guys and equips them to go home and make a difference. The problem with the church today is it's a wonderful country club, but it's having no impact on the culture whatsoever. And it's time that changes. If that doesn't change, there's no hope for anything.
Well, I'm with you 1,000% there. We don't need any more country club churches. We are in a fight to save the heart and the soul of the country. And it's all hands on deck. Folks, again, LibertyPastors.com is that website, LibertyPastors.com. And check it out, and it might just be something you need to send your pastor to. All right.
Amen.
Yeah. All right. Art, we got to leave it there, my friend. Paul Blair, always good hearing from you. And we wish you guys nothing but the best on this incredibly important program for pastors.
Okay, my friend. I appreciate you. Keep up the good work.
All right. There you go, folks. Our good buddy Art Alley from TimothyPlan.com. But again, the website that he's recommending, and this is a good one. This is maybe a gift that you could give your pastor, is to send the pastor and his wife to this incredible program, this wonderful, very well-done retreat. Everything Art Alley does is top class. LibertyPastors.com is the website. Be sure to check that out. All right, folks, we've got to scoot out of here. Don't forget, 5 o'clock Eastern on Newsmax TV. Watch the Todd Starnes Show. We will be back tomorrow. In the meantime, you be good, America.